Hi, today's December 10th, 2016. This is Comics News Podcast number 83. Let's see, the last time Jay and I got together was August 20th, 2016. So it's been a couple of months. Jay's been pretty busy.
Actually, a little bit busy.
We've had a few weekends where we could have gotten together, but you know, it just the timing just wasn't right. So it wasn't that Jay was not available the whole time. It just sometimes I wasn't available. But anyway, here we are. We got through before the end of the year, so we'll go do at least one more before the end of the year. That'll be great. And not exactly a new topic, but one that continues to fascinate me that we're going to talk about tonight. And that's the Superman that was introduced in Season 2 of Supergirl, which is now on the CW. It was on CBS during Season 1. And let's see, so a couple of background things. So Supergirl and Superman on the CW are in a different universe than the Green Arrowverse, which has, you know, Green Arrow and Flash and the Legends of Tomorrow folks. But it's they've been able to get them together for things like a four-part crossover that happened a couple of weeks ago, which we won't go into because I haven't seen it all yet. But in any case, so Jay, what do you think of I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Tyler Hoechlin?
I don't know how to pronounce it either.
Okay, Tyler. Let's just call him Tyler. The actor playing Tyler. Superman in Supergirl Season 2. Thumbs up, thumbs down?
Oh, thumbs up. He was pretty good, actually. I was surprised.
I enjoyed it also.
Did you ever watch Teen Wolf?
I have never watched Teen Wolf.
To be honest, I haven't really watched Teen Wolf myself. Well, my daughter does. Mm-hmm. My younger daughter, and she's a big Teen Wolf fan. Mm-hmm. And so when I heard that he was going to be in Supergirl, I showed the article to my daughter.
Right.
Because she's a fan of Teen Wolf.
Right.
And then I really shook my head because I was like, what? Because, I mean, he just did not seem like a Superman. Like, he pulled off Superman.
Right.
Based on what I saw in Teen Wolf. I don't know. I mean.
Just the look or the acting or.
Well, the look. And the acting, but I mean the character in Teen Wolf is very different,
right?
You know, so I was like, how is this gonna work? I thought he was completely miscast. I really did, but then he is an actor, so he acted. So I was pleasantly surprised at how well he got the character dead on.
Yeah,
more of like a Christopher Reeve kind of portrayal of Superman.
Yes, I completely agree with that. And one other thing, because I'd not seen Teen Wolf, I had no kind of preconceived notions about his acting ability or whatever. But that said, I tried to go in with an open mind because I remember when Michael Keaton was cast as Batman back in the late 80s, I thought, oh, that's just a giant mistake. And I was completely wrong. So tried to keep an open mind. I'm glad I did because I really enjoyed his portrayal of Superman, but even more importantly, I enjoyed his portrayal of Clark Kent.
Yeah, he seemed like a three-dimensional Clark Kent, if that's possible.
Yeah, I thought his Clark Kent was actually better than Christopher Reeve's, which was kind of cartoonish, you gotta admit.
Nebbish, is that the right word?
Okay.
More nebbish? I think that's right. Yeah, Christopher Reeve was more nebbish. But yeah, it was also a different kind of Clark Kent in the comics at that time, too.
Yeah, well, actually, the Clark Kent in the comics of that time, this was the 70s, was actually getting kind of stronger, right? Because this is after one of the kind of reboots, as I recall.
Oh, really? I don't know. I didn't really read Superman when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I read other kind of stuff, so there was always something about, at that time, I didn't really appreciate Kurt Swan's artwork until much, much later.
Yeah, so in the comic books around the Christopher Reeves time, and I may be getting my eras mixed up, so somebody can correct me, but my recollection is this is still pre-Crisis, you know, which was not to be for another 10 years or so in the 80s. But they had been kind of doing kind of little reboots. This is pre-Crisis reboots. So, you know, Wonder Woman went from her red, white, and blue costume to kind of a jumpsuit. Pantsuit.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
It was kind of weird. And Superman went being from a newspaper reporter to a television reporter for Galaxy Communications, I think. And
I remember that.
Yeah. And he became more of a regular guy versus, you know, kind of the super klutz, super nerdy guy that he had kind of portrayed or had been portrayed as for decades and decades. So it's kind of interesting to see the Superman Christopher Reeves played being kind of a throwback to the, you know, 1950s, maybe early 1960s. So that was kind of interesting. But this one, I think, got it just right. It's kind of like Dean Cain's version of Superman, or of Clark Kent, I should say, in Lois and Clark, which I enjoyed greatly.
Yeah.
Less weird than the one that, what's his name? Who's playing the Atom now? Brandon Routh? Brandon Routh, who played. Which I liked. I thought it was okay. Didn't like the Superman version. And definitely better than the Henry Cavill Clark Kent, which pretty much doesn't exist.
That's true. There is no Clark Kent. There's only Superman.
Yeah. And there's Superman glasses. That's, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's no finesse there in going through the two characters. So I really like it. I hope they are able to bring the Superman from his user universe into the Green Arrowverse, so there can be a meeting of Tyler's version of Superman with Dean Cain, who's now alive, or whose character is now alive. Jeremiah is now alive in the TV show, and with, of course, Brandon Routh, so we can have all three Supermen in one
shot. That would be so cool.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be awesome, actually. I would watch that.
So, yeah, so I really like it. And like I said, I really think it's really much closer to Dean Cain's version of Clark Kent, which I enjoyed, than anybody else. Not so much the Tom Welling's version in Smallville, which was more kind of a, he was more kind of like a regular guy.
I love Tom Welling's version, though, to me.
Yeah.
And I'm rewatching it with my wife.
Smallville, yeah, all 10 seasons? That's got to
Yeah, we started from the first episode, because she never watched it.
What?
And so, nah, she was never into it. She liked Lois and Clark.
Yeah.
With Dean Cain and Terry Hatcher, because they played up the love interest. But she could never get into Smallville with me. And I kept on telling her how good a show it was. And then
I think we're up to season 4. I think my wife has never seen it either.
And so there was nothing on like Hulu or Netflix.
Well, there was no Hulu. I see what you mean now. Yeah.
Yeah, no, there wasn't anything that she wanted to watch. So I said, let's just watch Smallville.
Yeah.
Or maybe I was watching Smallville and then she just like, oh, okay, I'll just watch it. And she went, and then she was like, wow, this is actually really good. You know? So she was, she got into it.
Yeah. Some seasons were better than others, I think. There were some that were kind of.
That's true.
But the first couple of seasons were very, very good.
Yeah, that was so well done.
Yeah, and who was the actor that played Lex Luthor? Because I thought he really made the show come alive.
Michael Rosenbaum.
Yeah, he was awesome.
He was really, really good.
Yeah.
I actually liked the actor that played the father, too.
Yes, yes.
John Glover?
Yeah, Glover, yes.
Glover? I don't know. I don't remember his first name.
Yeah. He was really exceptional also.
Yeah, he was good.
He was good. Yeah, I thought it was less angsty than the Tom Welling version of Clark Kent in Smallville.
This Clark is confident, but also deferential.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and oddly klutzy, which I can't quite figure out. There's a one scene where they're coming out of the elevator and Clark Kent bumps into a woman, I think, and drops stuff. And Kara says, oh, good acting. He says, that wasn't acting.
Yeah.
You know, somehow I can't see somebody with super speed being klutzy in that way.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, they should have just seen it, avoided it, and be done with it. You know, just kind of roll around in it.
They made him surprisingly human.
That's the best part to me.
Yeah.
That was the best part to me. I thought the little thing between him and, oh gosh, How quickly I forget.
Martian Manhunter?
No, who was the former boss of...
Cat Grant,
yeah. Between Cat Grant, it was a little odd, but okay. You know, we can deal with that.
Yeah. But I think in the comics, when they introduced the Cat Grant character, wasn't she interested in Clark?
She was, but they were also closer in age.
That's true.
You know, they're rough, I would say, a couple of years, you know, same as Lois and Clark, right? Lois is supposed to be a couple of years older than Clark. But in this case, this Cat Grant is, what, 20, 25, 30 years older than Clark Kent? So a little
much older.
Yeah, a little odd. But you know, things like that happen, so I guess not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, I thought it was those episodes that he was in really it lifted the story.
I agree. You know, one thing that was missing and which I thought was kind of interesting is that there was no blue suit. It didn't bother me, by the way. I just noticed it, but it didn't bother me, which I thought it would at first, but eh. You know, because suits don't really fit in this version of Supergirl. You don't see suits in Catco.
No, that's true. It's very modern.
Yeah.
So, is that a suit kind of place?
No. So I'm okay with it. Do you know if the Superman character is going to be coming back this season? I haven't kind of kept up on what's coming next.
I don't know if he's going to come back, but they didn't say that he wouldn't or couldn't. I think it's got to be down to the story.
Yeah.
What's amazing to me is that they were able to even pull this off. Because you would think that, you know, I mean, previously DC was killing all these other characters because of the new movies.
Right.
Right. I'm surprised they were able to get approval from DC to put in Superman character.
Yeah, I was surprised too, but there's some other weird stuff going on too. Like, right, for example, there is a Flash TV show and he's not a supporting character. He is the Flash.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a completely different Flash character that's going to be in Justice League movie. So I find that kind of interesting too.
Well, it's probably like the Flash TV show is just too popular for CW, right?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, there must, I don't know if there was kind of a lack of storyboarding or whatever between the two, the movie group and the TV group, but I just found it interesting that it diverged like that, where, you know, they have two completely separate characters. Whereas in the Marvel Universe, you don't really see a lot of crossovers, but when you do, the TV, at least the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Marvel Universe, is in the same universe as the movie universe.
Yeah.
Netflix is a whole different thing.
DC took a totally different take in making them separate.
Which I'm okay with, and I prefer with, because I really do not like the movie versions of pretty much anybody except Batman.
Surprisingly, Ben Affleck is very good.
I still cannot watch that movie.
And Bruce Wayne.
I actually bought the movie.
Uh-huh.
I sat through about 20 minutes, and I said I can't watch anymore.
Oh, that's too bad.
So I'll give it. I bought the extended edition, so I'll give it a try.
Yeah, it's actually one of my favorite films.
I know. I can't believe this.
I watch it. My kids are sick of me watching it when there's nothing else. It's like how Interstellar is still for me.
Really?
If there's nothing. Yeah, I love Interstellar. That's funny. I love Interstellar. Even my wife loves Interstellar. If there's nothing else good to watch, we have no DVDs that we want to watch again.
Yeah.
I'll put on Interstellar or I'll put in Batman versus Superman.
Okay. Let me give you a tip, by the way. Speaking of favorites and superheroes and so forth, I know that you are not. I don't think you follow Doctor Who, right? The TV show. But the Christmas special. No. I'm sorry?
No, I don't. Okay. I don't even know how to get it.
Oh, it's on BBC America.
I don't have BBC America. Okay,
or you can get it on... eventually, you'll see it on Amazon Prime if you have Amazon Prime.
Nah, I don't have that either. Does it come on Hulu?
I have no idea. I don't watch Hulu.
Yeah. Yeah, I only have Hulu, Netflix, and iTunes.
Okay. So it's available on iTunes. But what I would suggest is when you have a chance, if it ever... I'm surprised you don't have Amazon Prime, but anyway, when it appears on one of the downloads that you subscribe to, go check out the 2016 Christmas special, because it is a superhero story.
I think I read about that.
Yeah.
And they bring back some superhero, right?
Something like that. You know, I saw, I don't know, the superhero is not one you and I would recognize as one made up for the show.
Uh-huh.
But it's a very kind of iconic, you know, suit with a cape and a mask and whole thing. So
yeah, I've seen a picture.
It looks like it'll be entertaining. And I'm a big Doctor Who fan, so I'm looking forward to it. It's only a couple of weeks away now.
The only exposure I got to Doctor Who is when I was in college, and it was really late at night. The PBS station would play Doctor Who from like the 70s.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's the guy with the really curly hair.
Tom Baker, Doctor Who number 4.
Yeah, that's what I would watch because we didn't have cable in college at that time. And
yeah, that's my favorite Doctor Who, by the way, Tom Baker.
He is very popular, right?
Yeah.
I remember seeing comic books with that version.
Yeah. He is probably, up until the reboot, which started about 10 years ago, he was the most, I would say he was the most popular variant of Doctor Who. And, you know, there had been 8 Doctor Whos, I think, until the reboot.
I mean, I've tried to watch the new Doctor Who, but I can't make it past the first episode. I just can't. And maybe it's the guy who was playing Doctor Who.
Right. I know how you can watch it. It'll probably be available for free streaming with commercials on bbcamerica.com or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I recommend you check it out. I think it's going to be a fun one. The Christmas specials are always fun. Let me put it that way.
But I was watching Torchwood for a while.
Torchwood is a lot of fun.
Yeah, because I think Torchwood was on Netflix. Doctor Who must be on Netflix then if they have Torchwood.
Doctor Who might be exclusive to Amazon Prime, actually. It was on Netflix for a while. But I think Amazon Prime has the exclusive on it now.
Yeah, because Merlin's in Torchwood. Malcolm Merlin, that guy?
The actor who portrays him, right.
Yeah, I don't remember the guy's name. Yeah, that was actually a pretty good show.
John Barrymore, that's his name. John Barrowman.
Yeah, that was actually a pretty good show.
Yeah, it was a lot darker and more adult than Doctor Who, which is arguably more aimed at the younger, you know, preteen, teen set. Although adults, obviously, you know, like myself, watch it. And I've been watching it since 1979.
Oh, wow. Oh, you're a real Whovian.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Although even then, it was already 15 years old. So, been on a long time. It celebrated its 50th anniversary last year.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And they brought back a whole bunch of, you know, the Doctor Who characters, those who are alive, and those who weren't were kind of digitally imaged into it. It was pretty fun.
Wow. That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. So, anyhow, I would recommend that. Couple of other notes. Since that's pretty much all I have to say about it. You know, I think you and I are in agreement. Great version of Superman. Even better version of Clark Kent.
Yeah, he did. That actor did a good job. Yeah. Now I can think of him as, okay, he's an actor.
Yeah.
If he can do those two totally different characters.
Yeah.
And I can believe he can pull off being a... I mean, Superman's a pretty iconic character. And he really pulled it off really well.
Yeah, and it's easy to mess around like the Henry Cavill version. I'm just not... I know you liked it, but I'm just not liking it.
Well, you know, you're not the only one.
On the other hand, I do like Henry Cavill's version of the Man from U.N.C.L.E., by the way.
That was pretty good.
I really enjoyed that.
So. Yeah, that was a good movie. It didn't... I don't think it got its fair shake.
It didn't do as well as I thought it would.
Yeah, I just think that it's... I don't know. I mean, I thought the whole movie was pretty good. I just don't think that people nowadays are interested in seeing that kind of film.
The problem is it's a period piece.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to get people to watch period pieces for some reason.
No, you're right. You're right. That's why we don't have cowboy shows anymore. We don't have World War II shows anymore. We don't have, you know, anything like MASH. You know, anything.
I mean, you gotta be something like, you know, like, I mean, you could have stuff like Magnificent Seven, but even that didn't do that well, right?
No, it didn't.
The new one? I mean, it kind of fizzled really fast.
Yeah, it's really hard to do. I mean, you know, they've tried Wild Wild West, you know, with Will Smith, I think. They've tried a bunch of things. It's very difficult to do a period piece these days of any kind.
But if it's a period piece, it's got to be fantastical, like Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah, that's true.
Because that's like in the 20s, right?
Yeah, it's an old one. That's for sure. I don't know when it's set. I didn't go see it yet. I
think because it's actually in the Muggle world, right?
Right. It's in New York City, I think.
Right, but that's actually a period piece. But because it's Harry Potter, actually, I heard it was a really good movie.
I gotta ask my daughter. I forget what she said about it. I know she went. You know, one thing I do want to say is, I think you gave up on Gotham. They killed off, you know, Fish Mooney again, so it's better if you want to dip your toes in, take another look.
I got as far as when Fish Mooney left the town. Okay. Did she come back after she left the town?
Yes.
She went off with Hugo Strange, and I thought, oh, okay, she's gone. And then they introduced the Mad Hatter. Why would she come back to Gotham?
Oh, no, that was the end. Yeah, she died, right?
No, I thought she left. She was spared by the Penguin.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
And her and Hugo Strange.
So you now that left. She's gone from the picture is what I mean.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's gotten better again. The Court of Owls has been introduced. It has been hinted at. But it's not a full-fledged thing.
I haven't watched the last 5 episodes. Yeah. But I was liking it up until the doppelganger of Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, that was a little weird to me.
I was like, what is up with that?
Yeah.
After I went through that part and then they introduced the court, right. I went, okay, that's pretty good. And then I just stopped for a while.
Yeah, they're doing a good job. They're doing a good job of it again, I think. So I'd recommend you go back and take another look at it, give it another chance.
Actually, what I gave another chance to is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, really?
Well, I'm a big Ghost Rider fan.
That's right.
I like the Johnny Blaze Ghost Rider. I'm not familiar with Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was what I would pick up when I was a kid. I mean, this flaming skull head and a flaming motorcycle.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's the only reason why I'm watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is Ghost Rider.
Gosh, I can't even remember now. Who was the artist for the original Ghost Rider?
Oh, I don't know.
Michael Ploog. Michael Ploog was just an amazing artist, and that's why I liked reading Ghost Rider. He kind of was a mix of Jack Kirby with really big dark lines, and maybe Steve Ditko with, you know, kind of the fantastical notion. I really enjoyed Michael Ploog's art.
Ploog.
P-L-O-O-G. Michael. He was the original artist on Ghost Rider. Wonderful artist. Wonderful storyline.
Oh, yeah. I remember this one, Marvel Spotlight, Ghost Rider. Yeah. The Legend is Born. Yeah. Yeah, this guy was good.
Yeah.
Is he still around?
I don't know if he's still drawing. He's still alive. But he did a lot of the more mystical kinds of things. So he did Man-Thing. He did Monster Frankenstein. The only reason I read Monster Frankenstein was because he was the artist. Mm. I think one or two, maybe the first couple of issues of Werewolf by Night, which is meh. But Ghost Rider, that was awesome.
Oh, yeah, Man-Thing, Monster Frankenstein, Ghost Rider, Werewolf by Night.
Yeah.
A lot like Will Eisner.
I guess so.
That's what Wikipedia says.
Oh, okay. I never really thought of that. But I really liked his lines. You know, very simple, very clean, very distinctive. You could always tell a Michael Ploog.
Wow, he's in the movies.
Oh, really?
He does art for the movies. Yeah, he worked on the original Ghostbusters. He worked on The Thing. John Carpenter's The Thing, Superman 2, Little Shop of Horrors.
Wow.
He does
big movies, too.
He worked in post-production. Neat. So, yeah, I mean, wow. Yeah, he's pretty, and he's drawn stuff for Magic the Gathering.
Oh, that's a card game, right?
Yeah, the card game.
Yeah. Okay, well, in any case.
He's still alive.
In any case, that was our revisit to Comics News Podcasts. We'll see you in another 4 months.
Hopefully not.
Jay and I got to catch up on a bunch of stuff. I have a bunch of comics I haven't read yet that I bought over the last couple months. Still haven't read them.
Did you pick up Did you pick up Superman?
I've been reading Superman and Action Comics in spots, but I have not bought it in a couple of months, I think. Worth reading?
Yeah. Superman? Yeah. In my mind, Superman's one of the best comics out there right
now. That's the one with the sun, right?
Yes, it's the pre-52 Superman, the post-crisis Superman.
Okay.
And the post-crisis Lois Lane, okay. And they have a son.
Right.
Jonathan Kent.
Right.
And
who's not quite as super as his dad, as I recall.
No, but it's just so well done. It's really, really well done. And I think Super Sons just came out, which that's a son of Superman and then the son of Batman.
Damian Wayne.
Yeah. I haven't read the reviews on it, but I really want to pick up that one. But Superman is a really well done comic.
Okay, I may go catch up on that one then. And I recommend that, having not even seen it yet, but just seen the previews, they look kind of fun. I would recommend you go take a look at the Christmas Doctor Who Christmas special. I think the superhero angle will give you a chuckle at least.
Okay.
All right.
Is it that campy Doctor Who?
Is it campy? It's quirky.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's Doctor Who too, right?
Yeah. I mean, Doctor Who's almost always quirky. He's probably going to be one more season with this actor, and they're probably going to replace him. So it'll be yet another variant of Doctor Who.
How many wives does Doctor Who have?
Well, originally he was supposed to have 10. But when they ran into number 11, they reconted that.
They did a retcon?
Yeah. So we are now on Doctor number 12.
Well, and isn't he the only version of his race left?
Well, okay, so that's debatable. So he comes from a planet called Gallifrey. And for the run of the modern seasons, which started in the mid-2000s, Gallifrey was thought to have been destroyed in a war.
Right.
But in the 50th anniversary special, we learned that Gallifrey lives.
Wow! So, that's pretty shocking.
Yeah, so... and then it gets fuzzy. I forget how... I know he goes back and stuff happens. I can't remember what happened to the rest of the Gallifreyans. But in the original television show, the other Gallifreyans are there. And more importantly, for someone like yourself who hasn't been following it, you will hear references to someone known as the Master. And the Master is his arch enemy, sort of his Lex Luthor for Doctor Who.
He's a Time Lord?
He is a Time Lord.
Oh, I thought they were all good Time Lords.
Oh, no. They're good and bad.
Well, okay.
And in fact, the Doctor is considered a rogue. He escaped in a stolen time ship.
He stole the TARDIS?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. But here's another twist. You know, as I kind of alluded to, the Time Lords can do what they call regenerate. This is how they, change actors. The Master is currently a woman.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So they actually changed gender for the character, which is quite a trip. Okie dokie. So, Comics News Podcast number 83. And we'll see you hopefully less than 4 months. Talk to you later.